Chapter 6. So much for diplomacy, snarled Boozies, reining his horse around savagely. He glared over his shoulder at the retreating figures of the Persian commanders. Filthy mead dogs, agreed his brother Cootsies. Setting his own horse in motion, he added, God, how I despise them. Belisarius, riding alongside, held his tongue. He saw no point in contradicting the brothers. His relations with them were tense enough as it was. In truth, Belisarius rather liked Persians. The Medes had their faults, of course, the most outstanding of which, and the one which had occasioned the brothers' outburst, was the overweening arrogance of Persian officials, an arrogance which had once again been displayed in the recently conducted parley. The parley had taken place in the no man's land, which marked, insofar as anything did, the border between Roman and Persian territory. A brief discussion on a patch of barren landscape between six men on horseback. Belisarius and the brothers Boozies and Cootsies had spoken for the Roman side. The Medes had been represented by Phiruz, the Persian commander, and his two principal subordinates, Pataxes and Berismenus. Phiruz had demanded the parley, and then, at the parley, demanded that the Romans dismantle the fortress which Belisarius's army had almost completed, or he would dismantle it for them. Such, at least, had been the essence of the demand, but Phiruz had insisted on conveying the demand in the most offensive manner possible. He had boasted of his own martial prowess and sneered at that of the Romans, not forgetting to toss in numerous remarks concerning Roman cowardice and unmanliness. He had dwelt lovingly on the full-bellied vultures which would soon be the caskets of Roman troops, assuming, of course, that the carrion eaters were hungry enough to feed on such foul meat, and so on and so forth. Belisarius repressed a smile. He thought the polishing touch had been Phiruz's demand that Belisarius build a bath in the fortress. He would need the bath, the Persian commander explained, to wash Roman blood and gore off his body. Among which body parts, Phiruz explained, the brains of Belisarius himself would figure prominently. The brains of Boozies and Cootsies would not, of course, as they had none. Belisarius glanced at Boozies and Cootsies. The brothers were red-faced with rage. Not for the first time, no, for perhaps the thousandth time, Belisarius reflected on the stupidity of approaching war with any attitude other than craftsmanship. Why would a sane man care what some Persian peacock had to say about him? All the better, as far as Belisarius was concerned, that Phiruz was filled with his own self-esteem and contempt for his enemy. It made defeating him all the easier. An arrogant foe was easily duped. For the first half hour of their trek back to the Roman fort at Minduus, Belisarius simply relaxed and enjoyed the ride. It was early afternoon, and the heat was already intense, but at least he wasn't confined within a stifling tent. And soon enough, a cooling breeze began to develop. The breeze came from the west, moreover, so it had the further advantage of blowing the dust off their travel behind them. Yet that same pleasant breeze brought Belisarius's mind back to his current predicament. He had been giving that breeze much thought these past days. Very reliable it was, always arising in the early afternoon and always blowing from the west to the east. He treasured that reliability, caught as he was in a situation with so many variable factors. As the three men rode back to the camp in silence, therefore, Belisarius began to consider his options. His natural inclination, given the circumstances, would have been to stall for time. For all Phiruz's vainglory, Belisarius didn't think the Persian was actually ready to launch a war immediately. Stall, stall, stall. And then perhaps the Emperor Justinian and his advisers would come to their senses. But the knowledge that Belisarius now possessed from the jewel made that option unworkable. He simply didn't have the time to waste in this idiotic and unnecessary conflict between Byzantium and Persia, not while the forces of Satan were gathering their strength in India. I've got to bring this thing to a head and quickly and be done with it. The only way to do that is with a resounding victory, soon. Which, of course, is easier said than done. especially with... He glanced again at the brothers. Boozies and Cootsies looked enough alike that Belisarius had taken them at first for twins. Average height, brown-haired, hazel-eyed, muscular, snub-nosed, and... He would have smiled if he hadn't been so irritated. In truth, the Persian's insult had cut close to the quick. If the brothers had any brains at all, Belisarius had seen precious little indication of them. After 3 days of argument, he had managed to get the brothers to agree grudgingly to combine their forces. 3 days to convince them of the obvious. There had been no hope, of course, of convincing them to place the combined force under his command. Belisarius hadn't even bothered to raise the matter. The brothers would have taken offense and in high dudgeon retracted their agreement to combine forces. Eventually, as they neared the fort at Minduas, Belisarius decided on his course of action. He saw no alternative, even though he wasn't happy with the decision. It was a gamble, for one thing, which Belisarius generally avoided. But, he thought, glancing at the brothers again, a gamble with rather good odds. Now, if Morris can manage... He broke off the thought. They were almost at the fortress. The transition from the barren semi-desert to the vivid green of the oasis where he had situated his fort was as startling as ever. In no more time than a few horse paces, they moved from a desolate emptiness to a populated fertility. Much of that population was soldiery, of course, but there were still a number of civilians inhabiting the oasis, despite the danger from the nearby Persians. 3 grubby but healthy-looking Bedouin children, standing under a palm tree nearby, watched the small group of Roman officers trot past. One of them shouted something in Arabic. Belisarius didn't quite make out the words. His Arabic was passable, but by no means fluent, but he sensed the cheerful greeting in the tone. "Hell of a job you did here, Belisarius," remarked Boozies admiringly, gazing up at the fortress. His brother concurred immediately, then added, "I don't see how you did it, actually. In the time you had, damn good fort, too. Nothing slapdash about it. I've got some good engineers among my Thracian retinue, for one thing." "Engineers? Among cataphracts?" Belisarius smiled. "Well, they're not really cataphracts, not proper ones. A bunch of farmers at bottom who just picked up the skills." "Wish we had some cataphracts," muttered Boozies. "Don't much care for the snotty bastards, but they're great in a fight." His brother returned to the subject. "Even with good engineers, I still don't see how you got the work done so quickly." "The basic way I did it was by setting the cavalry to work and challenging them to match the infantry." The brothers gaped. "You had cavalry doing that kind of shit work?" demanded Boozies. He frowned. "Bad for morale, I would think." "Not the infantry's," rejoined Belisarius. "And as for the cavalry's morale, you might be surprised. They wailed like lost souls at first, but after a bit they started rising to the challenge, especially after they heard the infantry taunting them for a lot of weaklings. Then I announced prizes for the best day's work, and the cavalry started pitching into it. They never were as good as the infantry, of course, but by the end they were giving them quite a run for their money. Won a few prizes, even." Boozies was still frowning. "Still, even if it doesn't affect their morale directly, it... still... saps their self-esteem over time," agreed his brother. "Bound to. It's dog work." Belisarius decided he'd been polite long enough. "Dog work, is it?" he demanded, feigning anger. "I would remind the two of you that the Roman Empire was built by such dogs. By infantry, not cavalry. Infantry who knew the value of good fortifications and knew how to put them up, quickly and well." He reined in his horse. They were now at the gate of the fortress. Belisarius pointed to the barrenness beyond the date palms from which they had just come. "Do you see that border with Persia? That border was placed there centuries ago. By infantrymen. How far has your precious cavalry pushed it since then?" He glared at them. The brothers looked away. "Not 1 mile. That's how far." The gate was opening. Belisarius set his horse back in motion. "So let's not hear so much boasting about cavalry," he growled, passing through the gate. Rather well done, he patted himself on the back. They're not bad fellows, really, if they could just get that stupid crap out of their heads. The interior of the fortress wasn't as imposing as its exterior. In truth, Belisarius had been pressed for time, even with the aid of the cavalrymen, and so he had concentrated all effort on the outside walls and fortifications. Within those walls, the fortress was still just an empty parade ground, although it was covered now with the tents of his soldiers. He hadn't even built a command post for himself, but continued to use his tent as a headquarters. As soon as Belisarius dismounted and walked into his command tent, followed by the two brothers, Morris made his appearance. "We've got a prisoner," the Hecatontarch announced. "Just brought him in." "Where did you catch him?" "Seneca's regiment had a skirmish this morning with a group of Persians, about 300 of them 10 miles north of here. After Seneca's drove them off, they found one fellow lying on the ground, stunned. Horse threw him." "Bring him here." Belisarius took a seat at the large table in the middle of the tent. Boozies and Cootsies remained standing. A few minutes later, Morris reappeared along with Valentinian. Valentinian was pushing a Persian soldier ahead of him. The Persian's wrists were bound behind his back. By his dress and accoutrements, Belisarius thought the Persian to be a mid-level officer. Valentinian forced the Mede into a chair. Exhibiting the usual Persian courage, the officer's face remained still and composed. The Persian was expecting to be tortured, but wouldn't give his enemy the satisfaction of seeing his fear. His expectation was shared by Boozies and Cootsies. "They've got a first-rate torturer," announced Cootsies cheerfully. "I can have him here inside the hour." "No need," replied Belisarius curtly. The general stared at the Mede. The Persian met his eyes unflinchingly. For a moment, Belisarius considered interrogating the officer in his own language. Belisarius was fluent in Pahlavi, as he was in several languages, but he decided against it. Boozies and Cootsies, he suspected, were ignorant of the Persian language, and it was important that they be able to follow the interrogation. By the richness of his garb, the Persian was obviously from the aristocracy. His Greek would therefore be fluent, since, in one of those little historical ironies, Greek was the court language of the Sassanid dynasty. "How many men does Firouz have under his command?" he asked the Mede. 55,000, came the instant reply. As Belisarius had suspected, the man's Greek was excellent. "That doesn't include the 20,000 he left in Nisibis," added the Persian. "What a lot of crap," snarled Cootsies. "There aren't—" Belisarius interrupted. "I will allow you 4 lies, Mede. You've already used up 2 of them. Firouz had 25,000 men, and he took them all when he left Nisibis." The muscles along the Persian's jaw tightened, and his eyes narrowed slightly. Other than that, he gave no indication of surprise at the accuracy of Belisarius's information. "How many of those 25,000 are cavalry?" asked Belisarius. Again, the Mede's answer came with no hesitation. "We have no more than 4,000 infantry, and most of our cavalry are lancers." "That's the 3rd lie, said Belisarius very mildly. "And the 4th. Firouz has 10,000 infantry. Of his 15,000 cavalry, no more than 5 are heavy lancers." The Persian looked away for a moment, but kept his face expressionless. Belisarius was impressed by the man's courage. "I'm afraid you've used up all your lies." Without moving his gaze from the Persian, Belisarius asked the 2 Thracian brothers, "You say you have a good torturer?" Boozies nodded eagerly. "We can have him here in no time," said Cootsies. The captured officer's jaw was now very tight, but the man's gaze was calm and level. "Has the pay caravan arrived yet?" demanded Belisarius. For the first time since the interrogation began, the Persian seemed shaken. He frowned, hesitated, and then replied, "What are you talking about?" Belisarius slammed the table with his open palm. "Don't play with me, Mede. I know your army's pay chest was sent out from Nisibis 5 days ago with an escort of only 50 men. Belisarius turned his head and looked at Boozies and Cootsies. A disgusted look came on his face. 50. Can you believe it? Typical Persian arrogance. Cootsies opened his mouth to speak, but Belisarius motioned him silent. He turned back to the captured officer. What I don't know is if the pay caravan has arrived at your camp. So I ask again. Has it? The Persian's face was a study in confusion. But within seconds, the Mede regained his composure. I imagine it has, he replied. I left our camp the day before yesterday. That's why I hadn't heard anything about it. But by now I'm sure it's arrived. Nisibis is only 4 days' ride. They wouldn't have dawdled. Belisarius studied the officers silently for some time. Again, Cootsies began to speak, but Belisarius waved him silent. The young Thracian general's face became flushed with irritation, but he held his tongue. After a couple more minutes of silence, Belisarius leaned back in his chair and placed his hands on his thighs. He seemed to have come to some sort of decision. Take him out, he commanded Valentinian. Boozies began to protest, but Belisarius glared him down. No sooner were they alone, however, than the brothers erupted. What the hell kind of interrogation was that? Demanded Boozies. And why did you stop? We still don't know anything about that pay caravan. Silly damn waste of time, snorted Cootsies. You want to get anything useful from a Mede, you've got to use a... Torturer? Demanded Belisarius. He rolled his eyes despairingly, exhaled disgust, sneered mightily. Then he stood up abruptly and leaned over the table, resting his weight on his fists. I can see why you haul around a professional torturer, snarled the general. I would too, if I was a fool. He matched the brother's glare with a scorching look of his own. Let me explain something to you, he said icily. I wasn't in the slightest bit interested in getting information from the Persian regarding the pay caravan. He doesn't know anything about it. How could he? The pay caravan only left Nisibis the day before yesterday. The day before yesterday? Demanded Boozies, puzzled. But you said... I said to an enemy officer that the pay chest left 5 days ago. The brothers were now silent, frowning. Belisarius resumed his seat. My spies spotted the caravan as soon as it left the gates of the city. One of them rode here as fast as possible using remounts. There's no way that caravan has reached Firuz's camp yet. Then why did you... Why did I ask the Mede about it? I simply wanted to get his immediate reaction. You saw what a talented liar he was. Yet when I asked him about the pay caravan, he had to fumble for an answer. What does that tell you? Apparently, they weren't that stupid, for both brothers immediately got the point. The Persians themselves don't know about it, they exclaimed, like a small chorus. Belisarius nodded. I'd heard that the Medes were starting to send out some of their pay caravans in this manner. Instead of tying up a small army to escort the caravans, they're relying on absolute secrecy. Even the soldiers for whom the pay's destined don't know about it until the caravan arrives. The brothers exchanged glances. Belisarius chuckled. Tempting, isn't it? But I'm afraid we'll have to let it go. This time, anyway. Why? Demanded Boozies. Yes, why? Echoed his brother. It's a perfect opportunity. Why shouldn't we seize it? You're not thinking clearly. First, we have no idea what route the caravan's taking. Don't forget we'd only have 1 day, 2 at the most, to catch the caravan before it arrives at the Persian camp. In order to be sure of finding it, we'd have to send out an entire regiment of cavalry. At the very least, 2 regiments to be on the safe side. So? Demanded Cootsies. So? Belisarius cast an exasperated glance upward. You were at the parley with Firuz today, were you not? What's the point, Belisarius? The point, Cootsies, is that Firuz is getting ready to attack us. We're outnumbered. We need to stay on the defensive. This is the worst time in the world for us to be sending our cavalry chasing all over Syria. We need them here at the fort, every man. Cootsies began to argue, but his brother cut him short by grabbing his arm. Let's not get into an argument. There's no point in it, and it's too hot. He wiped his brow dramatically. Belisarius restrained a smile. In truth, there was hardly any sweat on Boozy's face. Boozy wiped his brow again in a gesture worthy of Achilles, then said, I think we've finished all our business here, or is there anything else? Belisarius shook his head. No. Your officers have all been told that we're combining our forces? Yes, they know. A brief exchange of amenities followed, in which Cootsies participated grudgingly. Boozy's, on the other hand, was cordiality itself. The brothers left the tent with Belisarius escorting them. He chatted politely while Boozy's and Cootsies mounted their horses. He didn't return into the tent until he saw the brothers cantering through the gates of the fort. Morris was waiting for him inside. Well? Asked the Hecatontarch. At nightfall, give the captured Persian officer my message for Firouz and let him go. Make sure he has a good horse, and pass the word quietly to the men. I expect we'll be leaving at dawn. That soon? Unless I'm badly mistaken, yes. He glanced back at the entrance to the tent. And I don't think I'm mistaken. You should be ashamed of yourself. Belisarius smiled crookedly. I'm mortified, Morris. Mortified. The Hecatontarch grunted sarcastically, but forbore comment. The show's back, he said. What did he think of the location? Good. The hill will do nicely, if the wind blows the right way. It should by midday. And if it doesn't? Belisarius shrugged. We'll just have to manage. Even if there's no wind, the dust alone should do the trick. If the wind blows the wrong way, of course, we'll be in a tight spot. But I never seen it blow from the east until evening. He took a seat at the table. Now send for the Kiliarchs and the Tribunes. I want to make sure they understand my plan perfectly. That night, immediately after the conclusion of the meeting with his chief subordinates, Belisarius lay down on his cot. For almost an hour, he lay there in the darkness, thinking over his plans before he finally fell asleep. As the general pondered, aim delved through the corridors of his mind. Time after time, the facets threatened to splinter. Despair almost overwhelmed him. Just when the alien thoughts had begun to come into focus. And now they were somehow at odds with themselves. It was like trying to learn a language whose grammar was constantly changing. Impossible. But AIM was now growing in confidence, and so it was able to control the facets. With growing confidence came patience. It was true the thoughts were contradictory, like two images, identical yet superimposed over each other at right angles. Patience. Patience. In time, AIM sensed it could bring them into focus. And in the meantime, there was something of much greater concern. For despite the blurring, there was one point on which all the paradoxical images in the general's mind coalesced sharply. At the very edge of sleep, Belisarius sensed a thought, but he was too tired to consider its origin. Danger.